Your seats. Well, we've been going through a sermon series called Hark the Herald, and we've been talking about this idea about how, you know, we know the song Hark the Herald, and even though in the song it's talking about the angel, but what we want to point to is this idea of being a herald, a person that is a go-between, between the king and the people. The herald goes forth and announces what the king desires to be announced. And so this herald is like a middleman. This herald is a mediator. And we've been talking about how Jesus is our great mediator, and he takes on three specific roles to be our mediator. He mediates for us as a prophet, where he shares with us, where he teaches us God's truth, and he continues to do that in our lives, where he also takes on the role as a mediator, the role of a priest, where he continues to be starts with an I. Someone help me out. Yes, he intercedes on our behalf. Yes, he intercedes, and he does that continually. And the third role in which he mediates for us is as a king. And he continues to govern what goes on in this world. He continues to administer and makes God's will happen throughout this world through the working of the Holy Spirit. We want to continue this idea. We've talked about how Jesus is our greatest joy. And because he is our mediator, he is our greatest joy. And not only does he mediate for us, but now he calls us to be mediators for him on his behalf. This is the last sermon for this series. And we don't want to just talk about Jesus, but because of Jesus, Jesus calls us to be mediators also on his behalf. And according to today's passage, the word ambassador is used. And so we're going to be talking about how we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Why don't we turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 16 to 21. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 2 Corinthians, whether you have a hard copy or whether you have your phone, an app on your phone. Please open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 966. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21 is the reading of God's word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. I apologize. Usually we do have the verses for you on the screen, but we didn't have that today. The question that I want to ask this morning is, what is it that you promote? What is it that you advocate for? You know, it doesn't have to be some kind of great cause that you promote, but it might be little things. Some of you might promote a particular restaurant. Some of you might promote the iPhone. Sometimes I promote SpaceX because I think it's a cool company. What do you promote? What do you advocate for? Do you promote the latest technology? Do you promote the idea of being a good person? Do you promote good health? Do you promote the latest diet? Do you promote exercise? Or do you promote good sleep? Make sure that you get 8 hours because that's good for you. What do you promote? You know, when we talk about an ambassador is a person that goes to another country and promotes their country's values. They go on behalf of their country and they go to another country and they become the person that represents their country. And what do? They promote their values, their country's values, or they promote their country's products, right? Or they may be there to, on behalf of their country, they might be there in that country to help that country in some kind of way. Now, every one of us here is an ambassador for something. And if you are a Christian, every one of you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But I want to ask again, because even though I say that you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I still want to ask, what do you promote? Whose ambassador are you? Jesus Christ was like an ambassador. He came from heaven above. He came into this world. He came on behalf of the Father. And he came to reconcile us to the Father. In a similar way, we are now called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about this idea about continuing on joyfully. We want to continue on joyfully. We talked about this idea of joy and all these things. But one thing that I didn't go into even more detail about is, what are we supposed to be doing when we continue on? Well, what the Bible calls us to do is actually to continue on joyfully in being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We want to be ambassadors promoting the values of the kingdom. We want to be ambassadors promoting the product of the kingdom. What is the product of the kingdom? It's the gospel. We want to continue to help people here as ambassadors of the kingdom. And that's what God calls us to do. Our main idea for today is be an ambassador for Christ. And the 3 points that we'll be going over are, number one, being an ambassador for Christ. Number two, being an ambassador for everything else. And number three, Christ the ambassador. So once again, our main idea for today is not just to continue on joyfully, but to continue on joyfully in being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And the 3 points, once again, are being an ambassador for Christ. Number two, being an ambassador for everything else. And number three, Christ the ambassador. Now, we want to start off by talking about being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The passage today kind of mentions two basic ideas of what it means and what's required or even what's entailed in being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not going to talk about everything in terms of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ, but in today's passage, it does mention two basic ideas. Number one, the basic idea is we want to see people with a new perspective. We want to see people with a new perspective. Let me read the passage for us once again. It says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When we look at people now, and the way that Paul, the writer of 2 Corinthians, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, when he said, we regard no longer anyone according to the flesh. We're looking at you guys with new eyes. And even though we regarded even Christ in this old way according to the flesh, what does that mean? What does that mean that we regarded Christ according to the flesh? Well, basically what it means is we used our own values. We used our own way of thinking according to our flesh. We used our own understanding of what's right from wrong, and we viewed Christ in this way. And so even Paul, when he first heard about Jesus Christ, he was going around and he was persecuting Christ's followers. But what Paul says is that we no longer regard people in this same way. We regard people in this new way, because if anyone is in Christ, they are no longer that old self. If we view people from Christ's perspective, they are seen as a new creation. Now, it doesn't mean that people are completely changed and Christians are walking around as holy people with halos around their head and maybe floating around with the sound in the background, oh, and we're like perfect people. That's not what it means. Of course, we're going to still fall into sin. Of course, we as Christians will still fail people. Of course, there will still be misunderstandings. But what it does mean is that when we look at each other, when Christians look at each other, we should see them, the other person, as Christ sees them, as people that are forgiven, as people that where Christ is able to see all their sin, but Christ still died for them. And they are no longer to be counted as their old selves that are deserving of judgment, but they should be seen as new creations that are being changed day by day by Jesus Christ himself. They are being changed into this new life. And so that means we should see people with the right eyes, where we have hope for people, where we constantly think about, you know, even though I see the sinfulness in you, I have hope that God is working in your life. And when we have this kind of perspective, whereas we may have seen people in this upside down way, I don't know if this picture is clear enough, but in the past we might see people with our old eyes, seeing everything upside down and kind of blurry and not understanding what's going on. But with Christ, we see this new perspective that's clear and right side up, and we understand things from God's perspective. Not only do we see people from a new perspective, but as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, what we're called to do is we're called to seek reconciliation. We should strive for reconciliation. We should strive to send this message out about reconciliation. This is what it says in our passage today, and starting in verse 18. It says, all this is from God. What is from God? All this idea about seeing people in a new light, from a new perspective, to see that we are a new creation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, what is the ministry of reconciliation? It's that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. What did God do? Even though God clearly saw people's sin, he did not count their trespasses. He did not count their sin against them. This is the idea of forgiveness. He did not count their sins against them. Rather, what he did for all his people is that he entrusted to them the message of reconciliation. He did not count their sin against them. And what he did was he entrusted to them, he entrusted to us, those of us that call ourselves Christian, this message of reconciliation. And that's why it says in the next verse, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And Paul says, you know, Paul is saying, I'm an ambassador of Christ for you guys, Corinthian church. I am imploring you, I'm begging you, I'm asking you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And what Paul was doing back then for the Corinthian church, God also calls us to do in the same way for one another, and for people in this world. Now, how do we do that exactly? How do we do that exactly? Oh, I had this picture about we want to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Let's talk about this idea of reconciliation. You know, when we talk about reconciliation, usually what we're talking about is that there's some kind of broken relationship. And so if we're people that carry this message of reconciliation, we have to also be living a life of reconciliation. And so I want to ask you, is there anyone in your life, in your past, that you've had a hard time forgiving? And maybe you haven't forgiven that person yet. Or maybe you have forgiven that person. But it's not just about forgiveness. If we're carrying this message of reconciliation, we also need to be seeking reconciliation, which means a relationship that's made whole once again. Which means a relationship that's brought together and you know that there's a good relationship once again. That's what we should be seeking. What God calls us to is to forgive as Christ forgave us. But you know, as much as we seek reconciliation, and that's what we should be doing, you know, as Christ has forgiven us, He gives us the ability to forgive. And not only to forgive, He gives us the ability to seek reconciliation, no matter how difficult that relationship was in the past. But the fact is, sometimes reconciliation is not possible. I just want to be clear that as much as we want to give this message of reconciliation, as much as we want to seek reconciliation, reconciliation will not always be possible. And so forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Forgiveness is something that we do, that we can do, and we should do. We need to forgive everyone. But as we seek reconciliation, reconciliation may not be something that happens all the time. Why? Because forgiveness is something that we do. It's a one-way thing where we let go and not count their trespasses against them. We let go of what they did against us. But reconciliation is a two-party thing. It requires both parties to come together and reconcile. And that's why it says in Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. What it means is that there might be times where you're not able to live peaceably with someone because they might still have something against you. Either way, we are called to seek reconciliation. How do we do that? Well, this is a good thing to remember. This is the basic gospel that we talk about. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Let's start with creation. Creation is the idea that God exists. God has created this world with according to His characteristics. And so there are values that are considered good because these values are who God is. And God is a powerful God. And as God is a powerful God, He has commissioned us to be ambassadors for Christ. And so we go out and we share with people that God exists and there are these values that about who God is. And so as we share about who God is, we're also able to share that there is a fall. That people, all people around the world have fallen. And so we share with people that, you know, this is God's perfect law. This is God's perfect way. But all of us have fallen. And as we share that all of us have fallen, we can also share how I have fallen. How you have fallen. And as we share about that, what that causes us to remember as ambassadors is that we are not better than the person that we're sharing with. We are actually on the same level as everyone else. And that causes us to be humble, to remember that I am a person that also needed to be saved. And so I am in no way better than this other person that I'm sharing with. The next thing is that we want to share with them about who Jesus Christ is. And so perhaps even before we share with them about who Jesus Christ is, when we have all these thoughts about how we're sinners ourselves, we can share with ourselves that we were redeemed by Jesus Christ. We were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We were Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us, and he demonstrated his love for us. And so with that understanding, we know that we were sinners, but God made a way so that we can be reconciled back to God. Our relationship was broken with God, but we are able to be reconciled back to God because of what Jesus Christ did. And so when we go and we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we're also able to share with others. Your relationship with God can also be mended. You can also be reconciled back to God. This is the good news. And then we go on to restoration and we talk about how, you know, even though in this life I may continue to fail, and you know, even in this life we may continue to face suffering and difficulties, but you know what? One day Christ will return. And this is what we're talking about all throughout the Advent season. Our mediator will return and make all things right. And so there will be a restoration of everything in this world, and there will be a restoration, a final restoration between our relationship with God. And that's something that we can look forward to, and we could share with them, look, we don't have to struggle and suffer in this world any longer, but we stay here in this world so that we can be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, continually going out and sharing this good news with other people. Now, how do we do this? You might be thinking this is something that we do only for unbelievers, but I'm not talking about just to unbelievers. I'm talking about to one another in the church. We have the message of reconciliation. And so if there is an issue with people within the church, then what we should be seeking to go through is this. We should be going through the gospel in our own hearts, and we should be thinking about the other person with the gospel in mind. That person is a new creation. Why? Because even though that person failed and went against God's law and even offended me, but I remember that I also failed just like that person. But Jesus Christ died for that person, just the same way that Jesus Christ died for me, and made that person into a new creation, just like God made me into a new creation. And so that's why I should be seeking reconciliation, because this person was reconciled back to God. I was reconciled back to God. We are one in Christ. We are one body in Christ. And so we need to be seeking reconciliation as we see that person from a new perspective. But of course, we also want to share this news with those that aren't believers. But how can we be sure that that person is a person that's forgiven and reconciled back to God? We can't. And so when we go out and we share with other people about this message of reconciliation, what we want to do is we want to keep in mind that there is a possibility that this person is a new creation. I don't know. I don't know if this person is going to believe or not. But this person possibly will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe even 10 years from now. I don't know, but it's possible that this person will come to believe. And so if it's possible that this person is a new creation, how should I treat this person? As ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we are called to see people with new eyes, to continue to call people to repentance, to point out that there is a God, that we have fallen into sin, that we need to repent and go back to the Lord and remember that we are new creations in the Lord. That's what we're called to do. So what do you promote? We're called to promote Jesus Christ and be ambassadors for him. But our second point is that a lot of times we become ambassadors not for Jesus, but for everything else. If we look at what we're called to be ambassadors for, or how the passage calls us to be ambassadors once again. It talks about these two things. But we could talk about how we promote everything else rather than Jesus Christ, especially when we're in conflict with other people. Rather than doing these things, we actually do the opposite of these things. Rather than striving for reconciliation, we just kind of want to keep a distance from one another. We want to be silent about the problem that we have with one another. It's a little bit 不好意思, a little bit embarrassing to bring up issues between people within the church, because I just don't want to cause any trouble within the church. We don't want to deal with these issues that are in our lives. We don't seek reconciliation. A lot of times it's easier to just say there is a problem between me and that person, and I just don't want to talk about it. Maybe I'll just slip out of this church and find another church to be a part of. Or maybe I'll just not talk about it and pretend that we're okay. And we don't really deal with the issues that are between us. And what we do instead is that perhaps what we end up doing is that we end up talking about the other person. And instead of promoting Jesus Christ, what we end up promoting is ourselves. How do we do that? The way that we do that is we say, you know, there was this incident that happened, and I don't want to name any names, but, you know, it just felt very wrong that this person did this. And, but, you know, I come to church on time. Look at this other person. This person doesn't come to church on time. And look at how I have been trying to be a good person to this person, even though they did that to me. Even though that person just ignores me, or even though that person speaks some bad things against me, or even though that person is not a good person, that person is treating their family poorly. Look at me. I don't do any of that. If I was that person, I wouldn't do things like that. Who do you end up promoting in that moment? Because we don't seek reconciliation, we don't carry this message of reconciliation, the next step that happens is that we don't see people with a new perspective. We don't see them as new creations, but we begin to see people as threats, as wolves. We begin to see people according to the flesh. We talk about how bad they are. We talk about how we've had such a bad experience. And that's just a normal sequence of things. You know, you may not actually say the words and think bad about other people with your words. You might not say the words, but in your heart, because of the hurt, these thoughts are there. And it doesn't matter if you never said anything bad about the person. What matters is what's going on in your heart. Because God is able to see what's going on in your heart. Now there's a real question. Some people might ask, what if there are real wolves among us? The way that the Bible describes it. How does the Bible describe real wolves? The real wolves are basically those that are teaching wrong doctrine. How do we know that they're teaching wrong doctrine? Well, you don't necessarily need to be a seminary professor to be able to know whether they're teaching wrong doctrine or not. One of the easiest ways that we could talk about whether a person is talking about wrong doctrine or not is to go back to the gospel. Are they teaching something else that's not according to the gospel? What we talked about earlier, CFRR, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. If they're not talking about the gospel, if they're talking about the gospel in the wrong way, then we know that they're teaching wrong ideas. And that's something that all of us can look out for. But if they are a believer in Jesus Christ, if they are promoting the gospel, if they are such people, then there's no need for us to see them as wolves. There's a need for us to see them as new creations, the way that God has transformed them. When we do see people as wolves, what we end up doing is we end up judging them. And perhaps we might hear Jesus' words, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is a warning. To think about how you are treating the person whom Christ died for, whom Christ has called a new creation. And why do we do this? Well, I believe a lot of times we do this because we have been so hurt that we want to protect ourselves. We want to find some kind of security. We want to find some way to make sure that that hurt is not felt again. And we want to avoid those situations. We're afraid to go into those circumstances again because we're afraid that that person might do the same thing. And maybe that person might do the same thing. And so we try to avoid those situations. And what we do in the process of doing that is that we say, "Jesus, I don't want you to be the mediator anymore for that person. I'm going to be the mediator for that person. But the way that I'm going to mediate is not like how you mediate, Jesus. The way that I'm going to mediate is I'm going to be a prophet that tells that person how wrong they are. I'm going to be a priest to say that their sacrifice is not acceptable. I'm going to be the king that pronounces judgment on that person." And we take the place of Jesus Christ and we say, "Jesus, you're no longer welcome in this relationship." Who do you promote? What do you promote? Though we at times may respond in this way, though we treat Jesus Christ in this way, though we've sinned against Jesus Christ in this way, Christ continues to be the ambassador for us. He continues to mediate on our behalf. It's just like what our passage says today. All this is from God. He sees you as a new creation. The old has gone. All of your sins are not counted against you any longer. You don't need to feel that guilt and that shame any longer about your own sinfulness. Jesus Christ sees you as a new creation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He did this according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He did it in this way. It says, "For our sake, for your sake, so that you don't have to fear that pain and that judgment from other people any longer. So that you don't have to feel the guilt of your own wrongdoing. So that you don't have to feel the insecurity any longer. For our sake, for your sake, God made Jesus Christ to be sin who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see that? The reason why we are considered new creations is because God counts all his people as the righteousness of God. And this is only possible because Jesus Christ, all throughout his life, he carried this message of reconciliation. He went out continually talking about this gospel, about creation, fall, redemption, restoration. He went around proclaiming the kingdom. And he continued to do it no matter how much people were sinning against him. Even at the time when people decided to nail him to the cross, he continued on proclaiming the message of reconciliation. And he did this even though he lived a perfect, righteous life. He became sin on your behalf, so that his righteousness can be given to us so that we are made into a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And so when we think about that, when we put our trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us, it gives us the courage. We don't have to be afraid of other people any longer. It gives us the strength to be able to forgive, to brave going into that situation again in a way where you love the person, to bless the person, to tell them God exists. There is a standard of living, but you have fallen into sin. And so I, as I have been forgiven and I have been reconciled to God, I implore you to be reconciled to God. And if you do, I really want us to be reconciled to one another. It gives us the strength and the courage to be able to do that. And so just here's some points for application. How do we begin being an ambassador? Number one, reflect on how Christ has forgiven you. What that means is you need to reflect on your own sin, how you are a sinner. But remember how Christ has forgiven you. And secondly, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive the other person. Forgive for whatever wrong that they have done, for whatever wrong that they stand for, whatever wrong that they promote. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. Number three, see the other person as one who is also possibly forgiven. See the other person as one who will possibly be reconciled to God, who will possibly be a new creation. Number four, appeal to the person to be reconciled to God. What that means is to ask the person, come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another word that we use for that is repent. But I don't want us to go around saying, you better repent. That's not what I'm saying. We're appealing with people. We're imploring. We're patiently. We're lovingly calling people to say, we need to go back to Jesus Christ. Number five, look for a heart of repentance. What does that mean? What that means is, you know, when you are seeking to reconcile with another person, when you're seeking to ask people to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be for Christians or non-Christians, what we're wanting to do is we want to continue to ask them to come back to the Lord Jesus and look for signs that they are. Have a hope that they will come to believe. That's what number five is about. Have a hope that they will come to change, because as Jesus Christ worked in me, Jesus Christ is also working in that person. I hope that Jesus Christ is working in that person. I believe and I'm praying for this person that they will come to repent of their sins. And number six, when they do, rejoice with them. And this is how we carry the message of reconciliation. This is how we become mediators, ambassadors for Christ. We're only able to do it as Christ, as we remember that Christ is our ultimate ambassador. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful work that you've done for us. Lord, that you have forgiven us and you've reconciled us back to yourself. Lord, I do pray for all of us here. May we also hear this call to be ambassadors for you. And as we do, cause us, Lord, to remember how you reconciled us to yourself, and so that with that same heart, we'll be able to lovingly, patiently be ambassadors for you and call people back to a relationship with you, and that we may have a relationship with them also. Lord, allow us to be people that carry this message of reconciliation on your behalf. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.